Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, which, of course, is the smartest way to start your day. And I hope that's what you're telling all of your friends on Facebook. Listen to that LeadX Leadership Show with Kevin Cruz. Tell your friends at work, because after all, the better they become, the easier things will be for you, right? Check out also leadx.org, where we're now offering a free online course every single day. Recently, we've had Beth Butler. She showed us how to organize our office for peak productivity. Dr. Patricia Scott taught us how to engage short attention span audiences. And I personally taught my secrets to overcoming procrastination and how I manage my emails so that I get to inbox zero almost every single day. Check out the free course of the day at leadx.org. Today in the show, we have a nonprofit leader out of Washington, D.C. We talk about the value of radical transparency and open book management, teaching tech skills to an underserved population, and her advice on how to give a 1-minute pitch. And she did one that won her $360,000. But first, today's tip: actively lead your meetings. Now, meetings are usually horrible for a whole number of reasons, but one big one is that participation is based more on personality than on value of thought or the value of the ideas. Usually, extroverts talk more than introverts. Those who are insecure and want to be noticed by the boss will make sure to speak up. Those who are career confident tend to say less. Those who speak as they think say more. Those who take the time to think and analyze a situation contribute less. Those who rush to judgment speak first and quickly. Those who think through all the options speak later, only if there's time. So to improve the quality of your meetings, to improve the decision-making that's happening in them, you need to actively facilitate the meeting, lead the meeting. Call on people who have been quiet. Aaron, I'd love to know what you think about this idea. Refocus the conversation as necessary. Hey guys, can we just table that topic and we'll come back to it at the end if there's time. But we really need to first decide on this issue. And avoid the easy groupthink if everybody's agreeing too quickly. So we seem to all agree this is a good idea, but can we red team it for a minute? What are all the ways this could go terribly wrong? Meetings don't run themselves. You need to lead your meetings. Our guest today is the executive director of Biteback, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit that provides free technology education and career training to unemployed adults. In 2017, she competed in the WeWork Creator Awards pitch competition, winning the top prize of $360,000 for Biteback. She's been named a 2017 Tech Titan by the Washingtonian and a DC Inno 50 on Fire winner. She serves as an organizer for DC Tech Meetup, which has 21,000 members. Our guest is Elizabeth Lindsay. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to have you on, and I'm excited to talk about Biteback in just a minute. But we always start, kind of a tradition on our show, with a couple of questions. And the first is, I'm hoping you're going to tell us a story about a time when you actually failed, because I'm selfish and I want to learn from your failure.
That's a great question. So my first big management job was at a nonprofit here in Washington, D.C. That's where I live. And I was the chief operating officer. So I was basically second in the organization. And for a few weeks, my finance director kept saying, our cash isn't looking great. Our cash flow's a little off. I'm not sure if we're going to be okay. And then one day he came into a meeting and he said, we are completely out of money. Ooh. And it was terrible. We had to lay people off. and we had to go to our funders and ask for money in advance. And it was such an important learning experience for me. I realized that once you get to a certain point in your career, you have to really know what's going on in every aspect of your business. There's a point where you can't just be focused on your own silo or your own line of command. You really have to be able to look more broadly and understand how all the pieces are working together and to really make sure that all the pieces are succeeding, and so that you can catch these things before they get to that point.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And I, with all my previous companies, I mean, I'm just all about radical transparency. So I had open book management. Everybody saw the books every quarter. And certainly at a COO level, you earned the right to know the true picture of cash. I'm curious, you know, what are your own views about sort of open book management? How much do you share with different levels in an organization?
Yes, that's a great question. From that experience, I now also am obsessed with transparency. So at Biteback, we do share our financials every quarter with the entire staff. Our program and department managers have full access to their budgets, and it's really helped. And I think that it also helps people at all levels of the organization to really understand how nonprofit finances work and to feel more comfortable in their jobs and their roles because they can see that we are financially sound. So that was one of the big takeaways from that experience for me.
That's wonderful. And LeadX listeners, if you're new to this concept of open book management, check out a book called The Great Game of Business by Jack Stack. So let's see, before we dive into more specifics about your present organization, I also like to get your wisdom for first-time managers. You know, so like if you could place a phone call back to a younger version of yourself when you were a first-time manager, like what advice would you give?
Sure. So I think like many people, my first time managing, I was thrown into it because I was good at my job, but I didn't know anything about management. And what I've really learned since then is that management is vital to the success of any company or any organization. I think that we think of it kind of as an add-on, like, oh, you're a great engineer, you're a great program manager, so let's give you this big management job. But it really is a skill. And so the advice I would give to first-time managers is to find out ways you can learn more about management, look at different opportunities in your community to get training, listen to podcasts like yours, read books about management, really learn best practices. I also would say that for first-time managers, that it's something that you really need to prioritize. The only way that you can be successful in your career and in your job is by having your team be high-performing and having your team be excited and engaged. And in order to do that, you really have to make the time not only to understand how to manage them, but really make the time to spend with them. So on my calendar, I have weekly check-ins with my team, every single person on my team, one-on-ones, and those are sacred times. If something gets scheduled over them, I have my assistant immediately reschedule my check-in. It's the only way that I'm able to be there to support them and to really make sure that we're working together for the organization.
That's great. I love that answer. And you get bonus points for mentioning the LeadX show as a resource. So tell us about Biteback.
Sure. So Biteback is a nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We are based in Washington, D.C., and we provide training and technology to unemployed and underemployed adults here in the D.C. area, and then we help them move into living wage jobs that use technology. We've been around for 20 years. This is our 20-year anniversary, and I think it's amazing that 20 years ago, our co-founders understood that technology was becoming an even more important component in our society, and also that technology provides a pathway for people without college degrees to move into living wage jobs. So we train about 700 adults a year at all levels. We have people who come to us who have never used a mouse before, and we help them to gain not only basic computer skills, but also to gain more specific specific skills so that they're able to move into a job as a computer support specialist or as an IT help desk technician or even as an administrative assistant or an executive assistant. And I'm really proud of the fact that we are really changing people's lives. So last year we had 65 people who we helped find jobs and train for them to move into employment. And on average, they're making $28,000 a year more than they were before they came to Bite Back.
Wow, that's a huge increase. Love what you're doing with this. Now, if I were to show up one day, like what would I see? Like, do you have a classroom and people come in and learn over a certain number of days? Or is it like night classes? How do you do it?
Sure, that's a great question. So we just moved into a brand new headquarters, so you should come and visit us someday. And we have 4 training classrooms in our headquarters that are full of computers, and we have instructors who teach the classes. We also have a really amazing video studio where we're able to record lessons for our students. So if you were to come into Bite Back, you would join one of the classes that's at your level. So we assess people to determine, are they at the beginner level? Are they at intermediate? Are they ready to go into more of that training that prepares them for work? And then based on the level, your class would be anywhere from 6 weeks, 4 hours a week, all the way up to 3 or 4 months for the more advanced levels. We offer classes day and night. We offer classes on the weekends, and we also offer classes not just here at Bite Back, but at sites across DC as well as suburban DC in Prince George's County, Maryland, because we really believe in meeting people where they are, not just in terms of their level, but also being very accessible. So our location is on the metro, it's on multiple bus lines, and we also teach in neighborhoods where our students live.
I'm just jotting. No, that's really great. Meeting people where they are. I love that phrase. And how do you find your students? Because I mean, I'm sure the need for this is endless. And so how do you promote your services, or how do people find out about what you have to offer?
Great question. So it's really a mix of things. So we find our students through a variety of different ways. We've been around for 20 years, so word of mouth is a big referral source for us. People tell their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers about Bite Back. We also work a lot with other nonprofit and community partners. So we will work at, we will go to other nonprofits that train or support people who are similar to Bite Back students, people who might be interested in coming to Bite Back, and we go into their spaces and recruit from there. We also have a really amazing partnership with DC Public Library, so we teach in library sites and we recruit through the library system. We do some Facebook marketing, and we also run bus and metro ads as well. So we have a pretty wide range of ways that we are doing outreach for our program.
And, you know, one thing I hear a lot about with, you know, whether it's online education these days or people, students who enroll in traditional universities, et cetera, there's a big drop off rate, you know, people basically bailing out of a course, bailing out of a college. I mean, do you struggle with that? Do you find your students, I mean, are they very self-motivated and they kind of stick? Or do you have a lot of people who are like, whoa, I didn't know it was going to be this, and they drop out after a class or two?
Right. So I've done a lot of reading on that dropout rate too. And what a lot of the data shows or interviews show is that one of the reasons people are dropping out is because they really have challenges and needs that aren't being met. So we really take seriously helping our students address some of the personal barriers that might hinder them from finishing a class at Bite Back. So we work one-on-one with our students and help refer them to different social services. Many of our students struggle with housing, having secure housing. They struggle with affording transportation. They struggle with paying for childcare. So we really help them to identify resources so that they can really focus on coming to Bite Back and learning. We have about a 75% completion rate, which I think is really great. Many of our students have never gone to college. Most of our students have never gone to college. For many, this is something that they're doing on top of taking care of their families or working part-time or working nights or just struggling with so many of the challenges that people living in poverty face. And so we have really focused and invested in supporting them so that they can succeed here.
I think that's an incredible completion rate. As you said, I mean, think, you know, even, you know, anyone who doesn't have the additional challenges of living in poverty, I hear all the time people saying, oh, I don't have time to read a book, or I want to go back and get my degree and there's no time. And so, and even the 25% that might not complete, it doesn't mean that they haven't been, you know, changed in some way or might, you know, not come back or anything like that. So that's incredible.
Thank you. And we make it clear to everyone that they are welcome to come back. And we do have a good number of people who, once their personal situation is improved, do come back to Bite Back and complete.
That's great. So I mentioned in when I read on your bio at the start of the program that you won the top prize in the scale category that for the WeWork Creator Awards. So tell me about that, the awards themselves and that process, because I'm sure there were a lot of organizations competing. You know, so I'm curious, what was it like, and, you know, why do you think you ended up, you know, winning the top prize?
Sure. So WeWork is an incredible startup company that is extremely successful. WeWork provides co-working spaces and helps build community in cities across the world. And back in March, I just happened to read one of our local tech blogs that WeWork was giving away $20 million globally to creators. So interesting ideas, interesting companies, organizations. And they were holding their very first creator awards here in DC. So we decided to apply. We're like, we'll just throw our hat in the ring. You never know. And we applied online and found out that we were a finalist. Mm. And what that meant is that we were invited to go to the very first Creator Awards, which is this incredible night of music and community and a competition. We were told we were to pitch Bite Back, a 5-minute pitch in front of a panel of judges. So I worked with my team for about a week. We didn't have much notice for about a week, really preparing, Googling what a pitch is. I've never pitched before in my life. I mean, I spent my career in government and nonprofit. Luckily, there are a lot of, YouTube videos out of Silicon Valley about how to do a pitch. Practiced, went to the WeWork Creator Awards. I pitched Bite Back and what we do in front of a panel of 5 judges. And then as one of the next round of finalists, I had to do a 1-minute pitch in front of an auditorium full of people. There are probably 1,000 people in this room, including Adam Newman, who's one of the CEOs and one of the co-founders of WeWork and the CEO. And it was an incredible experience. Like I said, it was my first time pitching, but I felt really prepared. And the judges were incredible. They were people who were local leaders in business and entrepreneurship and WeWork executives. And they really got that Bite Back is an organization that's doing something unique. You know, we talk about diversity in tech and we talk about shortages in tech workers. And we're one of the few organizations where someone can come who has no tech skills, and we help them from that very beginner level, and we help them get the skills they need to actually move into a job in technology. So we're not only diversifying tech, but we're also giving our students this amazing chance to access the opportunities that are available in the tech sector and to really change their lives.
Wow, that's incredible. So how many, you said there's like 1,000 people in the room, like how many groups do you think pitched that night?
So I think that there were 1,100 applicants, so from the very beginning, and then there were 50 finalists, and then maybe about 10 to 15 of us did the 1-minute pitch in front of the whole room.
That's incredible.
So it was a very competitive process. It was also really fun. Like, WeWork is a really fun company. Like, there were drinks, there was food. Mark Ronson DJed afterwards. Like, it was a Tuesday night in DC. Like, we don't party like that on Tuesdays in DC. So it was really fun. It was really an amazing, life-changing experience.
So if I had to go and do a big pitch that was only 1 minute long next week. What advice would you give me from that experience? How do I nail a 1 minute pitch?
Yeah. So I think you nail a 1 minute pitch by being extremely prepared. I mean, there were definitely people who I think maybe didn't know that this was part of it. And it's really hard to succinctly describe the impact of your company or your organization in 1 minute unless you've really thought about it.
Right.
I would also say, think about what is most impressive about what you do and really demonstrates the impact of your mission and really focus on that. And I also think just having a really good opening sentence is important because you capture the audience's attention.
Do you remember what your opening sentence was?
I'm trying to think what my opening sentence was. It was something like, there are millions of Americans who don't have access to technology, and with training and support, they are the next generation of tech startup founders, entrepreneurs, and leaders. It was something like that.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds great. Well, we are about at the end of our time, but I want to make sure our listeners know how they can find out, you know, more about you and Bite Back so they can support you.
Wonderful. You can visit us online at biteback.org. So that's BYTEBACK.org. You can also search Bite Back DC. So BYTEBACK DC, all one word, to find us on social media. So on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you live in the Washington, DC area, we'd love to have you volunteer, come visit us. And no matter where you live, we're a nonprofit, so we're always looking for donations. So you can support us by giving at biteback.org/donate.
That's wonderful. And LeadX family, we always like to come away with a daily challenge based on something our guest has shared. And I think today, the daily challenge for you is just going to be thinking about how you can practice radical transparency. So, you know, Elizabeth talked about her sort of failure story of not really understanding the financials, or you know, they weren't given to her in one of her early work experiences. And that's why she's so transparent now. It's how I've always operated as well. And even if you're not the CEO or the leader of your organization, maybe it's not financials, but whatever it is that you think you might be holding back a little, or information that could help your team members do their job better, that's the stuff you want to share out as quickly as possible. Radical transparency. Elizabeth, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for the great work. We really appreciate all that you're doing out there.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I appreciate what you do as well. So thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Friends, before we go, remember, at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org, that is, to check out our course of the day. Or visit leadx.org/Branson to download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership. And please take one quick minute, go to leadx.org/subscribe to subscribe and leave a rating for this podcast, The LeadX Leadership Show, leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, remember, you have incredible influence on those around you, your family, your team at work, your community. We all need you to lead mindfully. How will you lead today?